Hey, church, we are going to plan B. Really, really sorry for the confusion if you've experienced some confusion. And we know that God is working through all of this and we trust Him. He's got a plan. There is a message that needs to be shared today. And the people that are able to see this message are the ones that need to hear it and the ones that need to share it with someone. Okay. So, we're all good. We're really sorry for, to be able to cut the songs short, but we know that you can worship in your home, in another way. So I just wanted to say hi, good morning. And, I wanted to, just introduce to you our friend Bob Hudberg, who's going to speak today. We're talking today about living in harmony. And we were going to ask you a question. So I'll just go ahead and do that, and that will transition. That will transition into Bob. So my question for you today is it's about harmony. Okay. So because I have been involved with music for so much of my life that I can hardly remember not. When I think of harmony, I think of music, and I think of groups like the Everly Brothers and Pete, groups that just had great, sweet harmony. They're working in cooperation with each other, and together it's better than it is apart. But there are other ways that we see harmony in the world too. You think about things that belong together, like peanut butter and jelly. My question to you in the comment section is to give an example to your church family. What's an example that you can think of? What's the first thing that you think of when you think of harmony? What's a good example of harmony? Okay, so type that in your comment section, and we are going to, I'm going to flip over to Bob. Okay, there we go.
Hey, good morning, Grace Church. Thank you, Lisa. I was thinking of things that would be harmony, like COVID-19 and face mask. Maybe that's disharmony. I don't know, whatever it is for you. But really glad to be with you this morning and be able to lead you through scripture a little bit. There's a lot of scripture to look at this morning, and I hope that you will kind of follow along. So get your Bibles handy, and if you can get the notes that are in the notes section on the website, that would be great. We'll follow that as much as we can, unless God decides to interrupt that too. And so, but we have looked at the one another's, the reciprocal commands found in Scripture, and it's an incredible thing that God has done. And it's not if we want to; it's this is what we need to do. And I know that sometimes that's really hard for us to do that. But when we looked at week one, it was loving one another, and Pastor Don said, we learned about biblical love being a committed action of sacrifice on the behalf of one another, regardless of the circumstance and the reaction. Wow. Just think about that definition. Love, week two, was to build up one another, where we looked at the intentional way in our actions to care for other people. And then last week was greet one another. How to improve in making others feel accepted. So here we are in week four of the series, and I'm honored to be able to be here this morning and open up the scriptures to you. But I want you to think about this verse this morning. Aren't you amazed when you see something that you had no idea would happen, and then somehow the circumstances and the situation seem to work together perfectly? Think about that for a minute before we look at Romans 12. Okay, that's not a minute, but we'll give you enough time. You can do that a little bit more. So when I did that, when I was thinking about that, I thought of some things, and the list could have been endless, but let me just give you a few that circumstances that I didn't think would work out, worked out, and God worked. Like, I met the love of my life while I was a sophomore in college. It was love at first sight for me, and that's all I'll say about that. And then going back to college, being out of it for 13 years, and then having gotten married and have three boys, becoming a pastor. I was going to be a pediatrician. God says, no, I'm going to have you be a pastor. Going to our first church, and on the very first Sunday, there were 23 people there. Five were my family. And then that God blessed in that in an incredible way. Leaving one church, not knowing where I was going, but just trusting God to show us the direction, and he did. Planting a church, leaving a church, moving to another state, buying a house with no job prospect. How many of you have ever done that? I have, unfortunately. But then I think about just recently, not necessarily looking for a position, but my bride saying to a man that she was applying for the position for, this is the one you should be talking to about this position. And then God worked it out where I got that position. Listen, the list could go on forever. But if we begin to look how amazed we are, and we shouldn't be amazed, we should be realizing that God always has things under his control. In fact, if you have your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 11 and verses 33 through 36. And obviously it precedes Romans 12. I'm pretty astute that way, you know. And verse 33 says this, and I'm reading out the ESV translation. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. This is what I want to say about those verses. God has his way to do his work in his time for his good pleasure. I don't know about you, but sometimes I am very slow in comprehending some things. And I would probably say I'm not the smartest cookie in the cookie jar. And I wouldn't say necessarily stupid, but sometimes I get really confounded. And I'm sure God looks down from heaven and just goes, really, Bob? Really? You're going to do that? Say that? Go there? Associate with them? Make that choice? Think that thought? Kiss that girl? Marry that girl, buy that car, build that house, live there, wear those clothes, go that long without a haircut, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart or get closer. Verse 36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, not just some things, all things in our lives. He knows our choices. And he knows how to use them for his good. In saying that, I'm amazed to see how God did things in the past. And I don't know how long ago it was that Pastor Don chose this particular series for this particular time. But God uses this. And I thank God for Pastor Don's sensitivity in that and realizing that we need the one another now more than ever. And we need to be the church. We need to be Grace Church, coming together, walking with each other, helping one another, and sensing that. And so I would just want to say thank you, Pastor Don, for being sensitive to the Spirit of God at this time, because God has his way to do his work in his time for his good pleasure. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 16. And so it says this, here's where our command comes in. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, and never be wise in your own sight. That's our basis. Let's pray together. Father, as we come together, we want you to know that we trust you. We don't fully understand all that's going on during this time, but we know that you do. Help us to lean fully into you, allowing your Spirit to guide, direct, and give us the power that we need to be the church. And I pray this today in your Son's precious and most holy name. Amen. Wow. Can you realize what those verses said? We'll look at a little bit more. But I've come to the conclusion that God has a specific purpose for the church. And that purpose is unity. And if anything else we need to ascribe to is unity. And why do I say that? Well, let me just share some verses, and you have them on your sheet if you're following along, or maybe they're in the notes section for the sermon. But Psalm 133, verse 1 says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I grew up with a family of seven children. I have five sisters and a younger brother. He didn't say brothers and sisters dwell in unity, because when I look back growing up, there wasn't always times when we had unity in our household. And so, but right now, at this time in my life, I will tell you what, I will do anything to protect the unity of my family, my siblings, and their family. And God's saying, I want you to know, when brothers dwell in unity, God is well pleased. But in Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, he says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and in one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Now, that's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day, but I just want to make sure that you have God's word. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or chapter 1, verse 10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and have the same judgment. Paul wanted unity within the church. He knew that churches were filled with flawed people, imperfect people like myself. But he knew that the desire that would be pleasing to God would be the desire of us dwelling in unity together. And at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, he says, finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So how do we know that we're going to have harmony with one another? And how do we know that we're going to have unity? Well, in the first place, when Lisa asked that question, it just sank right in. It was like, this is really what it's all about, what it means to live in harmony. And doing this, we think about it from a musical sense. Those who appreciate music know how important harmony is in the musical composition. I love the Eagles. And oh my, they go. And then how about Sonny and Cher? You know, and just realizing the blending, or even the Carpenters. Okay, so I know I'm dating myself now. I don't know some of the newer groups that are out there. Maybe they have harmony, maybe they don't. But I just know that when we look at harmony from that perspective, it's pleasing to our ear. We experience a sense of delight. But we also know this, when a wrong note is played or a wrong chord is played, then our ears begin to go like, oh my, what was that? Or how come they're not singing on key? Which leaves us a sense of almost pain and feeling sorry for those people. But when there's harmony in the fellowship of the church, and let me be very specific, when there's harmony and fellowship within Grace Church, then there is a sense of joy and well-being. The fellowship is filled with the joy of the Lord. The work of God goes forward and progress is visible. People grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, and there's a oneness of faith and action. And the fellowship that they feel by belonging and being affirmed with one another. We need to understand, especially at this particular time, the importance of harmony. It should be the characteristic of every church. I'm thinking about Grace Church in particular, and I think it is. And it is that fact that we don't want to do anything at all during this time or from this time forward that would cause disharmony. I'm convinced of this. If all the people lived out the gospel and salvation when they trusted in Christ, then harmony would be the result. Well, then the flip side of that is true. When we're not living out the gospel, when we're not following Christ, that's when disharmony comes. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, but we also need to be realistic. And whether we have experienced it or not, it's possible that some churches have discord. If there's discord for whatever reason, then joy and well-being is diminished, and a sense of disquiet pervades the work of God. People become afraid. Openness between church members is stopped. Satan is always active to bring disharmony. John chapter 10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And you know what Satan would want right now during this time? That all churches, individual churches and churches corporately, would be in discord. And it would be so disheartening to me if that ever happened. And we're praying that it doesn't happen. So we have heard of churches that have had discord because of offering different opinions. And then what happens, not just with differing opinions, is that someone becomes really forceful and says, I want my way. They may not say it that way, but if you know anything about me, my bride says I have a look. And that look usually comes when I look over the top of my glasses. That means that I want it this way. And I'm trying to let God control that so I don't look over the top of my glasses. I try to look right straight through so that it's about us coming together in all things. Family and home are the best examples of where harmony needs to happen. Listen, I don't know where you're at as a family right now. I know that it's been really, really difficult for you. For some of you, having to work at home and then having to teach your children and trying to just be at that point of everybody being in harmony. And I'm sure there's been some disharmony in that. But know this, that God oversees all. He will help you deal with all of that so that you can experience harmony again. And maybe sometimes you need to take a deep breath. Maybe you need to go out for ice cream. Maybe you just need to say, okay, Lord, something is not right here. And if we're really honest, mom and dad, it's our responsibility first. It's not up to the children. We need to be the ones to set the example of what harmony really looks like. But the reality is, when we begin to look at harmony in our communities and individuals, that it is about the spirit of unity within our own Christian life. It's about understanding what unity really is all about. It's knowing that unity is exactly what God desires within the church. And sometimes when this verse in the King James Version in Romans 12, verse 16 says, being of the same mind one toward another. The ESV says, living in harmony with one another. It means this, that we keep to what we believe and we agree with the bottom line doctrines of our faith. And that will be the one thing that will direct us and lead us. If we know that God is the Father, Jesus Christ is the Son, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, and they've provided salvation and then guarantee of our salvation. And that, here's the great thing, we have a changed life. My life was changed because of what Jesus Christ did. I remember when I was 18 years old and realizing that, yes, I was a follower of Christ, but I didn't really follow until God said, you need to make a decision. Are you going to follow me fully as Lord, or will you just be a follower in name only? And so I realized that at that time, it became important for me to understand the significance of who God was, who his Son was, who the Holy Spirit was, and what God desired for my life. Paul was telling us in Romans 12, verse 16, that there are some practical instructions for us on how to live. And obviously, when we look at the first 11 chapters and he lays out this firm foundation of what it looks like to have Jesus Christ as the bedrock. And then he gets to Romans 12, verse 1, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then he goes on to say, listen, if this is true, if we believe Romans 1 through 11, then Romans 12 through 16 allow us to live out the faith. In fact, if all people lived out the gospel and salvation, what an incredible place this would be. So the fact is that when we do battle, when we do struggle, when we go through difficult times, we realize there's got to be more. In fact, if you get the opportunity, I would really encourage you to look at the verses before verse 16, or that's part of verse 16, and just kind of look at Romans 12, 9 through 22, and look at that list there and say, God, help me in this way, not only remembering what he says here in verse 16, but all the other characteristics. I think there's 22 characteristics there that help describe who we should be as followers of Christ and how we should live. So what do we do? I just want to be really practical today and helping us understand fully what harmony is truly all about. Thomas Aquinas said this, "First, we need to know we are all madly in love with the same Lord." I love that. It's madly in love, not just, oh, I like Jesus or I'm glad he's done, but honestly, madly in love. And I'm thinking for myself in reality, sometimes I don't have that. I want what Bob wants. I'm in love with Bob. I'm in love with the situation. I'm in love with my home and my life where it's at. But am I truly madly in love with the Lord? Man, I hate to admit this, but I can tell when I'm not. Because when I'm not madly in love with the Lord, all my relationships struggle. All the things that happen in my life are all about me. And then the other people that God has placed in my life are all struggling. I don't like them. I know that my vertical relationship with Christ has to be perfect and striving for that. Maybe not perfect, but striving for that so that my horizontal relationships are the best. But when this is not aligned, then I don't want to be around people. I want my own way. And so harmony cannot be achieved. But Paul is reminding us over and over again. In fact, in chapter 15 and verse 5, he says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus." Not apart from Christ Jesus, but with Christ Jesus. We know that we can't do this. We can't have harmony in our families, in our church family, in our communities, or even in our world without having it with Christ Jesus. This is not about dealing with the coronavirus. This is about dealing with our relationship with Christ during this time. The coronavirus is the byproduct. And I'm praying that through this time that all of us, myself included, will learn many, many things about how to live life differently now during this time of this coronavirus. Do I like it? I don't like what's going on by any means, but that's not the point. God, what is it you want to teach me about my life, how to live it out in such a way so that you're honored and glorified in it? He goes on to say then in Philippians chapter 1, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear," listen to this, "I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Do you know what harmony really is? It's walking with another person, arm in arm, in agreement, going the same direction. It's realizing that this is what it's all about. I'm convinced that God created Eve out of the rib of Adam so that husband and wife could walk side by side together. But just as he has done that for the church too. What better example during this time that Grace Church says to the world, we're walking hand in hand through this, and we would love you to be part of this. This is not about an exclusive group. It's not about exclusion, but it's about bringing people into the kingdom. And Pastor Don is so good about telling us, don't forget to do evangelism. Don't forget to be able to share the gospel. Don't forget not just inviting to church or coming on Facebook, but don't forget that people need Jesus during this time. We looked at Philippians 2 already, but in Ephesians chapter 4, he says this, "I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to be in agreement with the Lord." There was a problem. He could have used my name and another guy's name, but there was this issue, and that was in Philippians, not in Ephesians. But he used these two women who were obviously very key in the church and saying, "Listen, ladies, it's time for you to agree. It's time for you to be on the same page. It's time for you to walk arm in arm with each other and whatever the differences are." Maybe it was how the table was set. I don't know. We don't know what it was. Just get along, right? And live in harmony with one another. And then Ephesians chapter 4, and this one is so powerful to me. He says this in chapter 4, verse 2, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Man, look that verse up. Maybe that's a verse that we need to memorize together, but realizing that it's with humility and gentleness. We cannot have harmony if there's pride. If there's humility, it's a willingness to say, you know what, I don't have to have my way all the time. What I want is God to be honored in this. And if it's going to be, you know, I've realized that we always say that some people think outside the box. I'm convinced that we all have different size boxes. And some are just bigger than other boxes. And so we sometimes get threatened when someone's box is bigger than ours. Because like, why didn't I have that idea? This is not even the point. God, use the other people that you have placed in my life to help me to learn and to grow and help me to do with humility and gentleness. Wow, what an opportunity we have right now, even with Facebook, and saying, God, there's some things that we don't know, but there are other people who do. And thank you that we can learn from them during this time, right? Some of you are experiencing homeschooling your children for the very first time, and you are frustrated. I'm sorry. Thank you for doing this and learning from teachers who are trying to help you and the willing to say, I can't do this, but I'm going to learn from someone else. That's what Paul is saying right there. We need to have humility and gentleness. We should be carried away with doing the lowly tasks. Think about that a minute. We should reach out in love and make those who are beneath us educationally or economically to feel accepted. This is not a time, and it never has been a time, when we should look at people any different. In fact, we should look at them totally different, realizing that God created them in the image, in his likeness, and they are there in our lives on purpose. I've said this many times in the past, that it's never a mistake the people that God brings across our path. And he does that on purpose. Whether you're at Walmart standing in line 6 feet away, of course, or if you're just in your own neighborhood, God has placed you in the place that he has placed you on purpose so that you could show God's love to them. Now, I'll be honest with you right now. I'm finding it hard to have conversations with people at the stores because people don't want to take time to talk. And that becomes really frustrating to me. So I have to find other ways and other avenues to do that so that I can have conversations and not look down, but to accept people. I don't want ever people to think that I'm better than what they are. I'm not. Only by the grace of God do I happen to be this person who God has made me to be and to be able to understand that there are many things and many people. In fact, pride is the one thing that will get in the way. And Proverbs 3 verse 7 says this, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Oh, really? Or how about Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24? Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this. Listen, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, declares the Lord. It's not about being proud of what we have done or what we've accomplished. It's about being humble and saying, thank you, Father, for allowing me to have the things that I've had. Leon Morris said this, the person who is wise in his own eyes is rarely so in the eyes of other people. Did you catch that? The person who is wise in his own eyes is rarely so in the eyes of other people. Yeah. Thank you for that reminder. So today, I wanted to look at the word harmony, and I just gone through and use it as an acronym of some ways that we can show harmony and have harmony within our family, within our community, but Grace Church, within Grace Church right now too. I think it's really important that we have harmony. So if you have your sheet, you can fill these in. H stands for being honest. I think this is the one word that will help us the most. I'm convinced that there are people within Grace Church, and I know in other churches, who wear masks. We want the people to think that there's nothing wrong with us. We are perfect. We have no flaws, no spots, no blemishes. The truth is that we all know that we have those areas that I will call fatal flaws. A fatal flaw is a struggle within a character to maintain a survival system long after it's outlived its usefulness. We do this to protect ourselves. We wear a mask. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, listen, I struggle. I do the things that I know I shouldn't do, and the things that I should do, I don't do. I mean, I could say that myself. Why, God, why am I doing these things? But it's not the issue that we do them, but am I willing to take the mask off and willing to say to other people, listen, I just want to tell you I'm struggling. And you know why we don't share that? Because we don't think that people will accept us. We've already prejudged them. We've already put them in a place that they never intended to be, and we've never given them the opportunity to be able to show us how much they'll accept us. Or they may say something like this, you know what? I struggle with the same thing. Can you imagine what if we were all being honest with one another and saying to each other or that small group or whatever, listen, I'm really struggling with this. What would happen within our churches? I think there would be incredible healing, forgiveness, and grace. We need to have harmony with one another in this area. We need to be honest with one another. Now, I'm not going to go any farther with that, but if you just think about your own life right now and just being honest, if you can't be honest with the church right now, can I encourage you to be honest within your family and let them know that you're struggling? Let them know that you don't understand some things. Let them know, because my guess is they already know. They may be just waiting for you to verbalize it so they can walk alongside you and hug you. But if we do this within the church and say, you know what, I said I would pray every day this last week, but you know what, I didn't pray. Then someone else would go like, you know what, I didn't either. I was sharing with a group of people the other day that, you know, there's been times when people have said to me, would you pray about an issue for me? And I would say, sure, no problem. I would do that. I'll covenant to pray every day. And then they come back to me and say, thank you for praying for us. And I have to look at them and say, you know what, I totally forgot. I'm so sorry. But the honesty helps in the relationship. People want to know that we're going to be honest with one another. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17 says, whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. People in the church, let's take off our masks. Let's be real. Let's have harmony. If we're going to live out this harmony with one another, it's time for us to be real. I think when I think about the staff of Grace Church, they're very real. Pastor Don is very real. I don't think he wears a mask. It's who he is. Lisa and Leslie and Em and Ryan, they're all real people who love you, who are not perfect. Oops, I wasn't supposed to say that. Sorry. But they aren't perfect. They love Jesus. They want to serve him. And they are setting the example for us during this time of what it means to be honest. But the A then stands for affirmation. And we've talked a lot about this over the last couple of weeks in various forms. And so I don't need to go into it a whole lot, but it does say this in Romans chapter 15, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. It is about the fact of saying, what can I do to give praise to the other person? What can I do? God, help me to see that person as you see them and help me to give them praise and lift them up and encourage them. What avenue? And I think we're afraid to do that sometimes for whatever reason. And you know, during this time, we've talked a lot about sending cards maybe to people, a postcard or a written note. You can do something as a text, but I think sometimes even a phone call. I had the opportunity this morning to call a lady whose daughter passed away yesterday. And I felt so bad for her. I've known her for over 23 years. And realizing that her daughter just passed away, it was good to hear her voice, and I hope it was good to hear my voice, because there's something about our voice that lets them hear the realness where a text does not. Have you ever gotten that text with all capitals? It's really not saying, I love you. It's saying, do you get my point? Let's let our voices be heard and share that with one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. If you're doing this and some of you have the gift of encouragement, man, don't stop. Continue doing it because there are people who need it, and maybe ask God to show you the people who need to hear an encouraging word today, need to have a card sent to them, need to have something dropped off at their house, need to be prayed. I don't know what it is, but Lord, help me to see that person and respond to them in such a way. And I don't know if you felt this way or not, but when you're raising your kids, you know, and you feel like you failed as a parent and you just kind of want to give up, you ever been there? I have. Then suddenly someone comes up to you, a teacher, a friend, a neighbor, or even a stranger, and says something like this: you have the best child. And you're thinking, you don't have the right parents. You got to be talking about someone else. It can't be my kid. You know, they did this or they did that. And they go on to say, I was so impressed. I just wanted to let you know to keep on doing what you're doing. You're embarrassed. You're floored. But in a little way, you're very proud too. That's what affirmation does. So when you do that, when you walk with other people in harmony, you affirm them and encourage them. So let me just ask this. Who can you give affirmation to this week? Maybe who can you give affirmation to every day this week? Oh, I know, a lot of pressure. Just do 1 week. Don't do every day because you'll get very frustrated. Do one person this week and watch what happens with it. The R stands for respectful. It's a mutual acceptance of our differences. And man, are we different, right? And our uniqueness. It's not pushy. It's not condescending. It's not rude. It's listening carefully and responding correctly. That's what respectful is. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you. We are in this together, and I want to be respectful. You know, it almost goes back to the H of being honest. And I would just say, if there's ever a time when you feel I'm not respecting you, would you let me know in a loving way, please? Because I do get a little bit defensive every once in a while. But I think we need to be respectful of other people in the church. And it comes in a variety of ways. And it is the fact that we can honor them by respecting them and knowing that everybody thinks differently. Everybody's background has been different. Everybody's circumstances of life, and sometimes we don't even know what other people have honestly gone through to be where they're at today. So let's be respectful of other people. If we're going to have harmony, let's be honest, let's affirm, let's be respectful, and then let's be M, let's be mature. Oh, I hate that word, because I like to be immature sometimes, don't you? I mean, sometimes I just want to not have to be a grown-up and just be a kid. I know some of you are already thinking you already do that. So, but this is not about us personally. It's also about helping other people mature too. You know what I love about Grace? Grace Church has a plan to help people mature. It's a plan to help them go on this path to be able to say, do you want to grow in your faith? Then here's a plan that will help you. Now, are there other things that we could add to it? Absolutely. But at this point, this is the plan that God has laid on the leadership of the church to say, we want to help people grow in their faith. It's helping one another reach the place where God wants them to be. This is about helping other people, not forceful, but graceful. Guiding, not gouging. Carefully, not cuttingly. Their goals, not ours. Better yet, God's goal and not ours. Helping them respond in a way that God has fashioned them to. You know what we do sometimes? We think everybody has to respond the same way. They don't. We need to give people the freedom to respond in a godly way, but be able to respond in the way that God has gifted them and allowed them to respond, because they have gone through those things that we have never gone through. And we could list them all today for all of us, but we're not going to do that. But Peter reminds us of 2 Peter 3:18, He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. This is a command. This is an imperative. We are not to stay the same. We are supposed to be growing. If the only verse of scripture you have memorized is John 3:16, then you need to say, I need to grow some more. Find some passages of scripture that speak to your heart, because what you will do is grow in your faith, grow in your trust, grow in what God has. And in the process, you're going to help other people grow too. Why? Because when you share those other verses that God has placed in your heart and in your mind, then there will be a situation that will come that you will be able to share that verse with just the right person at just the right time, because you are growing. It is about us knowing and growing together. Okay, so the O. I tried to find a word that would be like really spiritual, you know? Couldn't find one. You know, I did even a Google search. Help me to find something that fits with the O in harmony. Didn't find one. So I chose one that I hope makes sense. It's being optimistic. It is being optimistic. And because so many times we are half empty people, and we complain about some things that we shouldn't even complain about. I'm probably the half full guy. So if I'm being optimistic, I want us always to be looking for the best in other people. I want us always to be viewing them in such a way so they go like, wow, I didn't realize people saw that in me. But I also want us to realize that the Word of God is very optimistic. It gives us a lot of things that we can hang on to, a lot of verses that will allow us to see God's presence. And I just wrote down three. There are many, many more. But one is in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Here's a reminder just so that you can have some optimism today. It says this: be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know what? Some of you may be listening to this today and you're scared still. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the next step. Some of you maybe are laid off or furloughed and you don't even know if you're going to go back to work. Can I encourage you to continue trusting God, to be strong and courageous? He knows what's going on. He is going to help you. And maybe it was time for you to be done with that position and he's going to open up another one. I don't know. I'm not trying to be a prophet by any means, but I just want you to understand that that is an optimistic verse that he says, don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Or how about the one we always quote, Romans 8:28? Listen, this is not just a verse that we can flippantly say. Listen to what it says. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. There is a conditional statement in there that says, those who love God, all things work together for good. Do you love God today? Can you take promise in that he's going to use this and be active in your life? And then the last one is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things, not just some things, all things. God, give me the strength today. I want to encourage you to be optimistic with other people and in yourselves today. If you have a passage of scripture that you can share, maybe write it on the screen right now. We can see it. What's the passage of scripture that you use to be encouraged in your faith walk? The letter N then is for necessity. I use this word because it doesn't happen in the example of the church. It's about a need. It's about being necessary. The church is to be those who come together, who share with each other, who love one another, and it's necessary. It's a necessity in our lives. I need you, and I'm praying that you need me. We are the body together, and it's a necessity that we are family, and it's a necessity that we are body. Pastor Don has mentioned it many, many times, even in this series, that we are family. And we know that we are family. Now listen, some of you I've not met. I can't wait for the opportunity to get to meet you. Don't be surprised if you see this strange face in your yard sometime. I won't be knocking on your window, but I may just be saying, hey, how are you? I'm Bob, and you are? But I should know who you are if I'm going to be at your house, right? So, but anyway, I think we need to get to know each other, and the necessity that we know each other and some of the things that we can, that we deal with. Romans 12 says, for as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though one, though many, as one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. I need you. We need you. Galatians 6:10 says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. We need to do this together. My last point today is just this: yielding. We should be yielding and willing and able to express our opinion, listen to each other's opinion, and be willing to walk with them, even though we might not agree. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Listen, I don't need to go into a lot of those. You know what this means. You know that it means we just put aside our desires and our plan. So let me just leave you with a life lesson. The life lesson is just this. Harmony begins with one person walking with another person, walking with another person, going in the same direction. Let me pray for us today. Father, today we pray that you would help all of us to live in harmony with one another. We love you today. We trust you. We want to do this thing called the church, the called out group of people. We want it to do it the best that it can. Give us the strength that we have and need at this moment. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Whoops. Okay. Thank you so much, Bob. We just are so encouraged. Bob is a perfect example of that exhortation and just being so very encouraging to other people. I have a couple things to remind you about before we close up our Facebook Live today. One of those, you may or may not have heard or read this already, but thank you to all who have been giving to the Myanmar Fund, Relief Fund. We have, as of, I believe, Thursday of this past week, we met our goal of $4,000 to send, and that money has already been sent to them. Now, there have been people that have given since then, and we also have had a further request from other global missions people that are asking for money. So what we are doing still is to continue through the end of this month. So we have about another week. If you want to give to Global Missions, Global Ministries, you can still use that same link, and Leslie will make sure and put that link maybe in this in the comments below. Or if not, we definitely will be sharing that out in our email that comes out on Tuesday. Another thing is, this month we are focusing on prayer, and we want to make sure that you are, and I'm sorry I'm not able to put up slides for you, but I will just verbally tell you that this week we're focusing on prayer, and because it's Memorial Day tomorrow, have a couple different things in mind. One of the things that you could do is take your family to a cemetery. You may already have done that, and or you may be planning to do that. But just taking some time to see all those flags that are flying and remember the sacrifice that has been made for us to have the freedom that we do. Thanking God for those people. Thanking God for the people who are currently serving in that same position to protect our country. And then secondly, that we really encourage you to, at some point in this week, go to a local government place, a place that maybe it's your library, maybe it's a courthouse, just go to the parking lot or somewhere in the area, maybe that you can walk around there and just pray for your local government, wherever that might be. Pray for them, pray for the people who are having to make decisions. And we are all having to make so many decisions that we never thought we would right now. And they certainly, all of those people have so much more on their plate. So we just want to pray that they're making godly decisions And then on up the chain, you just pray for the people who are leading us, that they're doing that well. And then the final thing that I want to remind you of today is that next Sunday, it's the 31st, next Sunday, after we stream our service, and we hope that that goes smoothly, but we don't know what's going to happen. We're going to do our very best to get the message out to you and just connect with you in this way. But after we get done streaming at noon, our picnic will start. So we really encourage encourage you to join us for the picnic, but we want you to register so we know who's coming and we can have materials for you to spend some time praying. So we will be concluding our month of prayer focus by praying here at this not just the facility, but around the facility and around the grounds and the property that God has given us. So it's bring your own picnic, and it is, you're going to pick up a prayer card and you're going to spend some time praying, but we want to just visually connect with each other and have some conversations. And we're praying also that we have as beautiful of a day next Sunday as we have right now. That would be lovely. So yeah, plan to attend if you can, and register, please. The registration can be done simply at gc3.org/picnic. That will take you to the form, and Leslie will put that link up as well. Okay. So you guys have a blessed week. And we know that we miss you and we love you. And we thank you so much for those of you who are able to hop back on and rejoin us. Again, we thank you so much for doing that. Encourage one another. And as Bob has really encouraged us to do today, that we might do our very, very best to live in harmony. Okay, so have a wonderful week, and we will see you. We hope to see you next week. We'll, of course, be live on Wednesday as well, but we hope to see you face to face on next Sunday. Okay, have a great one. God bless.